from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3. The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Another live practice with the Rams. Broadus is watching. He'll have a full report on that. It's a half show today as Rangers-Red Sox finale is coming up with the pregame at 4:30. Sands is already in. I don't know if I've ever seen him in this early for an afternoon game, but it's the odd 5:05 first pitch out there at Fenway today, guys. How the heck you guys doing?
Dude, I'm getting geeked watching some of these clips of your Dallas Cowboys offensive line.
Get it done.
Tyler Guyton over here just pancaking fellow first-rounder Jared Verse. Nice little chip. Yeah. Deuce Vaughn's in full pads. Gets the chip. Here's Guyton putting Verse on his ass. And BB's out there working with the ones. Now, I will say, I have seen a couple of snaps. Not his best work. Needs to clean this up. But it's just nice seeing some of the movement that Cooper Beebe and Tyler Smith can generate. Mm. Power combo blocking to open up some running lanes.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, I'm willing to reimagine what this team is capable of with you, okay, if you can give me the rookies performing in the run game.
Yeah.
Beebe and Guyton. You know, I was a little bit unsettled by the fact that Hoffman was ahead of Beebe there for, 3 weeks? But maybe that is transitioning. Maybe they just wanted him to earn it. But Broadus was telling us about the footwork, and I was like, oh, man, maybe this guy isn't ready to help. But if he is, you know, and you know, you can make out of these runners a decent running game. You know Dak's going to handle the passing game. You know you're going to get points. But, you know, obviously, not being able to run is huge. All the eventual champions can run the ball to some extent. And, you know, at this point, I would say the running game has been trending towards about 3.7 yards per attempt, which would be horrific. But, yes, that's why I was, you know, excited about the idea of moving on from Tyron Smith, because while he was still good in pass protection, those bones were too old and creaky to get out in the run game. And sort of restarting it, I thought you were going to be limited in how balanced your offense could be as long as you had those old dudes on the team.
Yeah, don't disagree at all. Don't disagree at all. I think having some youth in there and having some guys that can continuously be getting better and better, hopefully throughout the season. I mean, man, that's exactly what you want, because like with Smith and with Martin, you're like, I got two bona fide beasts at guard. Mm-hmm. So like, we're good here. As long as we have somebody who's capable in the middle, who's not just getting pushed around and thrown around like Biotish would, then man, we should be able to get a nice push here. And then Guyton, like, that speaks for itself as a first round pick who's an absolute physical freak show. And then Terrence Steele, now another year removed from the ACL injury, are you getting a little bit better version of him? You can start to talk yourself into the idea that maybe maybe this offensive line can be decent, and then it opens up everything for the offense, as you mentioned. So it'd be awesome. That's the biggest question mark. Can you run the ball? Can you stop the run? And if you can just be top half in the league in both of these, then you're going to be extremely capable of winning this division by a couple of games.
I don't think those things are unrealistic either, and I forgot about Steele. I mean, at the peak of his game before the injury.
He's a road grader.
A really good
dominant
player in the run game.
Blocking tackle.
If you could snap your fingers and make one thing come true right now, jump in on the Franklin Frangel injury attorney text line if you'd like, that Broaddus is going to tell us about in 1 hour. Like, hey, this guy was awesome today. This happened at Cowboys practice. What would that be?
Oh, my gosh. I think it would have to be, I mean, I guess it would be Beebe and Guyton, because I think that's huge, or Mozzie Smith being a monster.
Ooh, Mozzie would be nice, right?
Those are the two big questions. Can the young guys that you're depending on now on both sides of the line of scrimmage, can they be impact players? Because you have impact guys everywhere else. At every level of the defense, you got an impact guy.
Yeah.
And that's the only spot. Same thing with the offense. Like, your running backs are going to be not good. Okay. But you have an elite tight end, you have an elite wide receiver, and at times you have an elite quarterback. So give me an offensive line, and this is all of a sudden a different ball game.
Yeah, Homer Gavin says the 2-5-4, 15 seconds in, no games yet. Already forgot about Green Bay drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm willing to go down that path. You know, I think this team's going to be not as good as what it was last year, but that could still be easily enough to win this division. You know, and then if you throughout the year get Guyton and Beebe to a point that going into January, they're no longer rookies. Yeah. You know, they're just really young veterans who can help you in the run game. Then you're talking about something. Kendricks and the young linebackers on this team. How much can they shut down the run? I think, you know, to be serious, they need to go out and get Linville Joseph.
He's on the short list of guys.
They need a defensive tackle who can help stop the running game. But I feel like I lead the charge in being cynical about this, and it's funny to be called a homer. But I just want to see, you know, the line between just pretty good and really damn good is thin in the NFL. And you only need, like, positive answers to 3 or 4 questions. Maybe that's too far-fetched for you to imagine Guyton and Beebe both being good enough to be, like, on the all-rookie team. That's what I'm talking about here.
Yeah, I didn't realize giving analysis on, like, okay, we're seeing this. If this happens, if that happens, man, the Cowboys could be better than we think was homer.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think any of us are saying, oh, my gosh, when they get into the postseason, we are very confident that they're going to do anything. The answer would be no. The Cowboys have not proven that for 30 years. So if they get into the postseason, are any of us going to be like, hell yeah, this is the year. I fooled myself last year. It won't happen again. But yes, if you hit on a rookie left tackle and Cooper Beebe slides in and can be a good center for you, best center since Travis Frederick, all of a sudden you have a good offensive line. You win in the trenches. This team can actually be pretty good this year. Right now we're like, eh, can they win the division? Are they a playoff team? I don't know.
Micah Parsons says he's confident CD will be with the Cowboys week one.
Yeah.
Very confident as well. I think going into year 5, it becomes interesting, though, because you're really only 1 year away from being in that franchise tag danger zone. And if you're going to hold out, I think now's the time to do it. I think he would win if he held out for one game. But at the same time, I don't want to miss game checks. I mean, year 5 game checks are nice,
dude.
You know? So there's a lot that goes into it. I would put my certainty at 96%. I think there's a slim chance that maybe CD could extend this into the regular season.
I'll still be shocked. I'll still be shocked if it gets to week one and he's not in the building. So I'm confident this thing's getting done as well.
Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com, says Jason Witten's son Cooper has been ranked as the number 25 recruit in the country. Just saw that before we came on the air. In the 2027 class.
That's wild.
Going into his sophomore year, he's a 6'2", 210 safety.
Safety!
And already has a state championship to his name, along with 6 offers.
6'2", 210 safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, and he's going into his sophomore year. That's going to be 6'4", 245 before you know it. This guy's going to be either he's going to end up being a tight end or a linebacker. Absolutely.
Our guy, Liberty Christian.
If he really is a defensive monster, that body's growing into a linebacker body. A
lot of talent in that body.
What a monster.
Red Sox beat the Rangers 9-4. We've hit a season high, 10 games under 500 now. How you feeling out there, Rangers fans? There's no Rangers Kool-Aid for you. Their pitching staff is now decimated by injuries. Urena got rocked. Pennington was good, though.
Here we go.
Gave up 1 hit in 2 1/3. No walks for the young lefty reliever.
No walks.
Tonight is going to be Dunning and Houck. Dane warmed up twice yesterday, Bassick told me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he threw like 50 pitches. But they have no other options. So they're going to... If Dunning gets rocked in the first or second inning, they're just going to be like, go get him, champ. You got this.
Hang tough out there.
Rangers question of the day. What if they release guys to save payroll? Would that tick you off? I just hope that it would be to spend money in winter. Like Boom. You're building a war chest.
Boom.
Then I'd be okay with it.
Yes. I mean, this season is clearly going in a direction that nobody wanted it to go, and they hung on as long as they possibly could. But at some point, if you're talking about moving on from some pieces so that you can gear up to spend a little bit more going into next season, then I'm fine with that. I'll be fine with that.
I like the positive spin. If they're dumping salary, it's because they're not planning on spending, and they're just being cheap.
Really?
It would make me feel very, very nervous about them really spending some money this offseason.
Well, it's fair. It's fair to be nervous about what they got cooking there and what their desire is to save as much money or to win.
It's like, dude, all of a sudden we're talking about cheap ownership. Really? Come on. You just won a World Series. Now is the time to not be cheap.
Make it rain, Ray.
So would their plan be to just like have five superstars and a bad roster around them and try to hope it wins big? If you're going to do that, you might as well trade your superstars, right? Yeah. And actually try to rebuild through the draft. If you want to go cheap, there's a template for you. Trade for prospects. Wait until those prospects start to show some signs of life, but they're still very much under control. Throw a little bit of dough at it. You can win with not the biggest payroll in baseball if you want to try to do that.
Good.
You know, I just like to know that my front office has a plan. But the more we talk about this kind of stuff, the more it seems like people are cynical and maybe thinking that, Ray Davis is going back to his miserly ways. Like, all right, I got that World Series for the fan base, and now I can become a cheapskate again. If that's your plan, Scrooge McDuck, just go ahead and sell the team. We don't need more owners like you who are trying to, like, just make money off your sports team, right? This is about community. But man, these billionaires, they get so used to not considering the common man that I think just, like, bleeping on them and telling them it's raining becomes quite instinctual for them and, you know, quite a part of their... modus operandi. Okay, what else do we have going on here? Mavs going to face the Spurs in the season opener. That's a fun one. Talking basketball. Are you guys as bullish on these Mavs and their chances of dominating postseason series moving forward as I am?
Yeah, I feel good about the way that we've seen Jason Kidd maneuver some of these series with Luka over these last few years when they've been good enough to get into the postseason. I think the proof is in the pudding from that standpoint. If you have healthy Luka and just general health amongst your other guys, I think this is all working in a great direction right now. Derek Lively, what he's going to be doing defensively and everything like that. Like, hopefully the Klay Thompson move is not one where you bought the guy right as his bottom is completely dropping. But assuming Klay Thompson is about what you expect, getting a guy who can score 15 points a night for you or whatever, I mean, I think this is absolutely a championship caliber basketball team.
100%. Yeah. And look, I mean, you were talking about the regular season stuff. I wonder if some of that, it's like Jason Kidd sacrifices at times wins in the regular season because he's constantly tinkering with lineups. CA's talked to us about that all the time. Like, how many times were we watching a Mavs game and we're like, this is the five you're rolling out here in a closing fourth quarter situation? It's because I think Jason Kidd's trying to see, hey, playoff time rolls around. Who can I actually rely on? But that's proven to really work because when the playoffs do roll around, that dude's made it to at least the conference finals in both of his times with the Mavs. So I'm super pumped. I think they're going to be much better than they were a year ago, and that was a finals team.
I mean, they were so great in what, the final 25 games of the regular season after they got Gafford and Washington.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just an inconsistency factor in the regular season up until that point, and they're about to go lay waste to the regular season and be the number one seed. And you know, but I think that you're onto it, that Jason Kidd played in an era where, you know, Phil Jackson was notorious for not really caring about the seed. We'll get in, we'll be a 2, 3, 4, 5 seed somewhere in there. We can win on the road because we're going to have the better matchups.
Yeah.
And we're much more interested in finding out about our team and resting our team in the regular season than proving that we can be the better team over the first 82 games, because really legacies are determined by what happens in the postseason.
No doubt.
But yeah, I mean, we just saw the Celtics win it, you know, and I think that says a lot. I don't know if this is going. We're about to watch the absolute greatest teams in the history of the NBA compete for championships because of the model that the collective bargaining agreement has built. It's stopping teams from making these super teams. It's impossible to build a team like what LeBron did with the Miami Heat, or you know what any number of the former dynasties had.
Yeah, there's not one team that you're like, oh my gosh, but every round of the playoffs is like, hey, this is not going to be an easy out. Like your road to the finals, like what the Mavs just went through, tough teams, solid teams, but there is no real Bowser, even though for this year, Boston was that.
Yeah.
They were absolutely nasty.
And
but how
Boston
long is it?
Benefits, you know, whoever wins the East, I think benefits greatly from that. Like the West is such a juggernaut. Every single round, you're going to be tested probably 6 or 7 games. Boston, how many games did they lose till they got to the finals,
3.
Right? And Brad Stevens talked about that afterwards. The path to get there matters. The battle of attrition. Mavs didn't really have their legs in that final series.
Is that Bowser reference a Zelda?
That's a Mario.
Mario deal.
Mario.
Is that your own?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's...
Or is that a pop culture thing now?
I don't know how pop culture that actually is.
Huh. I love it.
I don't know.
I love it.
I'd like to think I made it.
I think Bowser's the bad guy in Mario for sure.
Mario
right
Party.
There at the end. Yeah, that's...
He's a tough guy. You know, you get to every level, and then, boom, here's Bowser.
Bang, I love
it.
Can
you handle that?
G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. It's a G-Bag Nation presents You Make the Call Next. Well, Chuck?
Yeah, several things have come up when it comes to weddings in the fall during football season. We'll talk about all those and more. That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
To the nation.
Yeah, buddies. Bronis is going to jump back on with us coming up at 3 o'clock live on the tennis courts. Cowboys-Rams practice going on right now. His continued coverage brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, from grain to glass. Segment of the Nation's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks and DFW. If you or a loved one's hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. And here's Wolchuk that G-Bag Nation presents. You make the call.
Yeah, I was seeing several things today. I'm like, man, I think these would be good talking points, and we can discuss how we feel about this. 877-881-1053, your thoughts welcomed as well. YouTube, Twitch, we love hearing from you. But I was seeing yesterday, and this has been a topic of conversation, my friend group, a lot of them now married with children. And it was like, dude, if you have a wedding that is on a college football Saturday, an NFL Sunday, the likelihood of me attending, not high, right? So I guess we had, I think it was Barstool that brought this topic back up. They were talking about like, okay, even if my sister had a wedding on a college football Saturday, she knows I would not go. And they call the sister up. Sister says like, yeah, I'm aware he's not attending the wedding. I don't think I would go that far. Like if my sister schedules a wedding in the fall, I'm going to hate her for it. But I'll be there anyway. It's my sister. But I think
just hate watching her walk down the aisle.
It's like, go bleep yourself. And you bet
like
I'm going to be
man.
Watching on my phone. You know,
yeah.
I'm going to have the games up.
Volume's on.
But how do we feel about...
I'm listening to Gus Johnson and Joe Klatt.
Damn right. I'm going to ruin the entire ceremony here. Okay? Because you scheduled a wedding selfishly during football season in the fall. Football fans, we're not doing this. This is a no-go. We're not having Saturday college football weddings, Sunday NFL Sunday weddings. You get a small amount window here to enjoy your football. Have them in the spring. have them in the summer. Fall, unless it's something like it's Army-Navy weekend, that's the only game that's going to be on, sure. Otherwise, I'm against this.
Yeah, maybe you could get lucky and have some great weather in early December or something, you know, if you want to throw down a Saturday game, although you might be starting to get into those NFL Saturday games there as well.
Yeah.
I think you got to know your family especially. You know, some of these families, it's part of the fabric, the culture of, you know, what makes you you, and you don't want to violate that.
Well, this is funny because there was a guy named Fred, at Red Dead Fred, yesterday on Twitter, who unprovoked, just random dude tweeting out, I cannot stand the, quote, no weddings during football season crowd anymore. Grow up. You're 26. And this dude got ratioed in a nasty, nasty way.
Damn right he did.
Completely viral because of this awful take. It's the worst take on Twitter right now.
It's a terrible take.
And, I mean, some of the responses were great. Like, one girl named Emily said, you are weak AF. My husband literally asked me to try and give birth to our twins on a bye week. In response to this guy.
That's how it goes. And hey, if you want to work around, maybe it's a Sunday, you want to do a Sunday wedding, you schedule it around your favorite team's bye week. Okay. Even then, it's like, ooh, I'm sacrificing a red zone Sunday.
Now I'm assuming everybody that is attending my wedding is also the fan of my team as well.
254, I scheduled my wedding 5 years ago in October on a Cowboys bye weekend. 940, my wife's B-Day is October 12th, loaded with great college football games. First day, I won't be attending Texas OU since 04. Oh, my goodness gracious. That's a rough one. But no wedding, right? I guess a birthday. Maybe you could schedule a dinner. You still go to the game. You go to dinner afterwards. Maybe there's a way around this, 940. But the wedding thing, unless you're somebody that doesn't care, your family, to your point, doesn't care about football. Okay, fine. Understand. But to us that do, don't do this.
I mean, I think it's you got to take care of the main team, right? If you're an OU family, a TCU family, for me, as long as you're not trampling like on a Cowboys game or something like that, I think we're good. I can live without like other top 25 games or random NFL games, but like working around the local team schedule, I think is a no-brainer.
Other G-Bag Nation, you make the call. I thought about this a couple weeks ago. I was listening to Bobby and RJ. It was last week when Sean was out, and we had the no-hit bid from Framber Valdez. Chop was at the game. And he ended up actually rooting for Framber Valdez to get the no-hitter once it hit the eighth inning. So, G-Bag Nation, you make the call. Is it okay to root for the team that is about to no-hit your own personal team just to see the MLB history?
Not in this situation because you're still within striking distance, okay? The game was not out of reach, number one. You, at that point, were much more in contention for this division still. I think that's being like a look at me, I'm more evolved as a baseball fan than you guy.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, it's actually very sophisticated to root for the opposition to throw a no-hitter against your team.
You never know if you'll see another no-hitter.
Respect for the sport.
It, you know, to me, his pinstripes are showing, if you know what I'm saying.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, especially with this, in this instance, being an Astro.
It's also Houston.
It's like,
that's
come
why
on.
For me, it's a no.
Like, that's a easy, we don't even have to talk about this. I'm actually disrespected by the question, no.
Yeah.
Now, if it was just name that random team, then I would perhaps feel a touch different. But as well as Dawson mentioned, too, like at that point, still in striking distance, still like needing every single victory possible. If this is in September and you're just completely out of the standings and your season's useless anyway, and it's some random like interleague game, then sure, maybe.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. Like even watching it at home, like I get it. You're at the game. I got a chance to witness history. No, it's the Astros.
Yeah, and that's only if you're at the game and you just to be able to be like I witnessed.
Yeah,
it in
I mean,
person
come on.
Or whatever,
no, but. this is a bleep no here. I mean, maybe if it's some random team like the Padres or something, fine. But
and you're 20 games out.
Yeah, yes. And this is something where it's not like we're
or
in the race
games
here.
Up.
Yeah, 100%. Or maybe it's like the first couple weeks of the season. You don't. And nothing's really been established, but 100%.
I just can't stand the feeling of losing so much. You know, it really resonated with me when Josh Young said that yesterday. It's a horrible feeling, you know, and maybe it's toxic and weak of me to hate losing as much as I do.
No, it's not.
But it bothers me in a visceral way. It changes my energy, my attitude about life
right.
and everything after I lose.
Mm-hmm.
And watching my team lose is, you know, a very comparable feeling. Then getting embarrassed like that when the other team is like high-fiving and smiling and being like, yeah, that's right, we got him. Dude, that makes my blood boil.
To screw you
is
what that is.
And for that to happen against a rival?
Absolutely not.
This is signaling like much higher estrogen levels in RJ than I ever fathomed existed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. With a take like
that. Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe he needs some men's tea clinic with that blue chew.
Keep RJ in this situation. F Houston, I hear you. All right, last one, G-Bag Nation, you make the call quickly. Michigan, first time, big house. They are going to be selling beer. They are charging reportedly more than $12 for a domestic 16-ounce beer, and they will be having specialty beers that might be a little bit more expensive. You know, local breweries would come in. Those could be up to $13 a pop. Michigan fans are losing their minds over this. Do you think that it is fair to be ticked off at these beer prices? Because I see this, and I'm like, I kind of know what I'm expecting going to a sporting event. It's going to be bad.
I don't know what would surprise me at this point. I want to put a number on it at like $21 for a 16-ounce beer. I think at $12, that's about standard with inflation.
Yeah.
I saw the consumer price index numbers earlier today, 3.2%. It feels like 30%. You know, I expect sticker shock on everything. And it's crazy that, like, for the first time in my life as an American thinking about retirement, you have to consider, okay, would $3 million be enough? Would $5 million be enough? Or would inflation deflate the buying power of those dollars so much? Will I ever be able to retire? You know, that's for the first time, I think, in centuries, Americans are having to consider that.
Yeah.
Will I be able to save hard enough to beat inflation so when I'm 65 plus, I'll actually have a nest egg? Or will it require millions and millions of dollars, you know, for regular things? Okay, it is. It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup. We're Lucius Alexander. How's your G-Bag today?
Woosa, woosa. Calm down a little bit.
Good?
Yeah.
What happened?
Mike Bassett got my blood pressure up, bro.
What did he do?
Just being him, he can't help it. It's just who he is.
Mike was miking?
That's why I got a... He was miking. Yeah, I'm sitting up here trying to get the show ready, and I hear RGP, RGP up and down the halls of 105.3 The Fan.
No.
Did this fool go to Duncanville?
Yeah, he did.
Yes.
What's happening here?
I don't know what he did.
What are we talking about? RGP. I need some more context to that, Mike. I don't know what we talking about. It's SGP over here, bro. Jeez. Duncanville and South Grand Prairie has a good rivalry anyway. Like, we've always had beef.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always had beef.
Might have been trolling you.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing. I mean, I don't even think he knows what he was doing. It's Mike Bassett, so I got to calm down.
He was on one today. Listen to the show on the way in. It was hilarious.
All right, our winner right here for G-Bag of the Day is the Redneck Brawls. Yeah, we got an Oklahoma man that went undefeated in a Texas prison system. This man can fight. Not box, he can fight. And these are just brawls. But he met a good old Texas boy, put some hands on him. Listen to this commentary.
He got speed.
Here we go.
He got speed freak on his leg. I like that. Oh my God.
He's tearing that ass up.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
He hilarious.
He's ripped a bunch of people's ass. There ain't no doubt about it.
Buddy, if he can do this right here for three rounds.
Buddy,
he's going to be tough to beat.
Buddy.
He can't
do it.
He came in there with sheer confidence.
That other boy's starting to come back.
Oh, he's out!
He's out!
Oh, my God!
Oh, my God!
Oh, my God!
Oh, my God!
Oh, he's out! He's f***ing out! Oh, my God!
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 Oh, my damn!
Oh, my damn!
What the f***er?
Hey! Sometimes it don't matter how much you want it, son. Oh, my damn.
Look at the replay.
Damn.
That boy's about to go
home.
Here's
the replay. Here's the shot right here. Them boys are moving so fast, they're glitching.
Yeah, that's good,
too. Here it goes. Oh. Boom. It was that right.
That right ended
buckled
it.
Him.
Buckled him.
Buckled him.
I love when that little guy says he come in there with sheer confidence.
Yeah, dog. It's hilarious stuff. Did RJ Choppy have any Rangers merch on? Any Rangers paraphernalia at the game that he was cheering for the other guy to have?
I bet he's wearing a Rangers t-shirt.
Nah, that is really foul. if we out here cheering for a no-hitter and we got a Ranger shirt on, that's crazy.
That's wild. Yep.
That is wild. Wow, my guy, you are speeding.
In a playoff race.
In Jeez. A school zone.
In a school zone. Let's go to the Cowboys radio broadcast here on 105.3 The Fan. Hall of Famer Brad Sham wanted to know why they were showing a baseball game, the Dodgers game, at SoFi Stadium on the big screen. We got Chrissy Scales right here with a nice little zinger.
Mike McCarthy takes a timeout here.
Okay, he's got two.
I believe it was McCarthy.
Well, the scoreboard is showing that the Rams called it, but timeout. On the other hand,
Los Angeles.
The scoreboard also showed the Pirates and the Dodgers.
So. Hey, I thought McCarthy was running down looking for a timeout. Sean McVay may have beat him to it.
Seriously. I mean, you know, we don't take everything as seriously
as we will.
Why would they
season?
Show the Dodgers and the Pirates highlight? Can you tell me that?
Yeah.
We're in Los Angeles.
Because they wanted to see some scoring, and we're getting more in baseball than we are in this game.
Christy with the dunk.
Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah, she seen it coming off the rim.
Yeah.
She did. Yeah, she seen that coming
off
the rim.
It was a damn good flush.
I got this one. All right, let's see what else we got for you boys. Boom. Boom, boom. Oh, it's back to school time. Does that bring anxiety to anybody in that room?
Yeah. Anymore. I think I finally passed it.
Pass what?
The anxiety with the first day of school stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, not yet, bro. You ain't even got started yet, fam.
No. Oh,
yeah.
With the kids, it'll get way worse.
Yeah. Oh, what?
Yeah, I guess you're
and
right.
And it flies by. Take photos.
Everything's on you.
Take photos.
I have drop-off line anxiety because...
Oh, no.
After elementary school... They don't have the teachers out there basically doing traffic policing.
Oh, yeah.
So people will just stop at the front of the line and have like a 5-minute conversation with their kid.
Yeah.
And not Damn. Give people any indication selfish. That you should just go around. You
people
know?
Are selfish.
You can't do front that. Of the line. Hay's got to be in the barn. Okay.
So then I tell Abby, look, I'm going right up the middle. I'm going up the gut. I'm going right to the front of the line. I'm cutting everybody. Get out of the truck. And she's like, no, you're embarrassing me. Oh. Like, I don't care. I don't have time for your 8th grade sensitivities.
Get the hell out of the truck.
It's exactly what I
go,
said.
Go, go, go.
Yes. I love you.
Hey, L.A.
Have a great day, honey.
I think we got some update to Mike Bassett over there talking about GP. Hey, L.A., he was talking about Jeff Okuda not being with Detroit. That is SGP.
Yeah, that's El Rambo.
So I don't know what Mike doing over here.
I think he's a Falcon now, huh? Okuda?
Oh, yeah, he's out there at ATL, shorty. Right?
Yeah.
Or is
yes, he is.
Yep.
I feel like Houston might be next.
Oh no, wait.
I feel it like says, Houston.
Your current team, it says Houston.
Okay, I feel like Houston was there.
Yeah, he's a Texan. Excuse me.
All right, yeah, back to school time. I don't know this gentleman's name, but he has some game for you teachers out here via the Boyd Teachers Comedy Tour.
I'd always stress out when I get observed by my principal. Right, by admin. That just always stressed me out. Anytime you get observed by your boss, it's stressful. I started bribing my students. You can use this. I told them, hey, you guys make me look good when the principal's in the room, pizza party. Here's what we're gonna do. Anytime the principal's in the room and I ask you guys a question, you're all gonna raise your hands. You raise your right hand if you know the answer.
Let's go.
The teachers love that one.
You're left hand if you don't. Guys, can you say teacher of the year?
Hey, game in the system. It's a real education right there.
Yeah, real talk. Learn how to game the system, kids. That's really the name of the game here.
In my early days of radio, me and my buddy, who was also super young, noticed that the important people walked fast.
Yeah.
So we'd call them fast walkers. Yeah. And we'd like buzz out in the hall and be like, dude, I'm going for a run. Watch this. I'm going to be really impressive. You go flying around the boss through the cubicles, pointing at people.
Yeah. No,
mover and shaker.
See, you're picking up on things.
Busy.
Yeah. In the military, it was all about having a clipboard.
Okay.
There you go. Have that clipboard in your hand and you just look at somebody and you look at their name tag when they give you a question. What? Johnson. Okay, Johnson. Yeah, don't worry about it, buddy. Yeah, man. That clipboard, people just let you on by. I guess we're up against it. I got one more, but I can wait till tomorrow.
All right, let's do this. Is it Redneck Brawls as a Texas whipped OU in that situation? They're moving so fast, they were glitching. There's so much gold in that.
There really
is. I feel like we should run a poll.
Time.
Like, what's your favorite part of the G-Bag of the Day clip? Sham and Babe with the capper from Christy Scales.
Damn, that was good, too.
Back to school anxiety. I'm going to give a vote for Christy because she deserves it, Chief. How about you?
She does. I got to go with the Rednecks, though.
Lucius?
Oh, yeah, Redneck Brawls. For
yeah.
sure.
Shout out to Christy, but it is the champ.
By a score of 3-1. And still, your G-Bag of the Day champion. 3, looking for 4 now. It's the Redneck Brawls. Okay, coming up next here is a sports hodgepodge with the Chief. What's cooking?
We got a broadcast foot in the mouth situation. We have a chicken wing lady update and a fast food news for you next in the nation.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan coming up at 3 o'clock. We will have Brian Broaddus check in live on the tennis courts, the NFL news of the day, anything major that happened in Cowboys-Rams practice. We'll talk about that. Well, Chuck will also deliver everything from pro football. Time now for a sports hodgepodge. Here's the Chief.
All right, we got a couple of clips in the world of sports here. Guys that would probably like to, you know, maybe they'd like to have that one back, you know? And we'll get to both of those. But I did want to first give an update on the chicken wing lady from yesterday, the one that had, over a period of time, stolen almost $2 million worth of chicken wings from the school that she was working for. Well, upon hearing this news, Chris Jones, the defensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs, responded by saying that he would be willing to pay for the wings that she stole to get her free.
She got sentenced to 9 years.
9 years. She got sentenced 9 years. She's an Illinois school worker. 9 years in prison, stealing $1.5 million worth of chicken wings over the course of a few years. And Chris Jones saw this news on Twitter and quote tweeted and said, "Hey, I'll pay for the wings that she stole to get her free."
Respect the
so
hustle.
Maybe that's enough right there. Like, Chris Jones is coming in willing to say, "Hey, I've spent way more than that over the course of my life on chicken wings, and I'm willing to help you out in this same scenario." So I don't know if the justice system would work that way. Like, hey, easy money back. What would you rather? Her sit in jail for 9 years or you actually get the money back that was stolen?
Absolutely.
Her sitting in jail for the next 9 years is not going to bring the money back or the chicken back.
No.
Chris Jones is trying to provide a solution here.
Now, do we have a motive? Is he just trying to be nice, feels bad for the lady?
Yeah, I think this is just exactly. Like,
it's egregious, man.
Yeah, 9 years is entirely too long.
He understands the hankering for a chicken wing. And he understands
and the street's got to eat. You know, she's seen a way to hustle. Right. She hustled that muscle.
Nonviolent crime.
And it took them like 2 years to figure this out anyway. It's a shame on them.
Got greedy. She should have bounced after 1 year.
Yeah, probably.
Got greedy. it got too good to you, you know?
It's always how it happens.
Too succulent.
Those little peppers, man, will do that to you. Whew.
He's got a heart of gold.
Yeah, he does.
Golden Honey Barbecue.
Shout out to Chris
that gold
Jones.
Rush of pluckers.
We'll see if he can pull that off. Now, we had some baseball going down last night, and we have a broadcaster that I think that would like to have this one back. This is Rick Manning of the Guardians. He is their play-by-play voice, Cleveland Guardians, and he is he's making the home run call here. And then listen to what he says towards the end of the call that makes you think he's probably waking up with regret on this one. Uh-oh.
There's a ball hammered deep left, way out of here.
Oh, Smiley, he wants to kill himself. He hung him a breaking ball, and boy, Noel took advantage of it.
Old Smiley, he wants to kill himself. And like hearing Mike Bassick talk about giving up a dong ball in Major League Baseball, I actually think the analysis is spot on from the play-by-play man.
Yes. Like, because Mike has said he felt, that's how he felt.
Yes.
Yes.
He may have gotten a little bit too real for this particular broadcast. And I haven't seen anything come out about like him being in trouble. Or him even like having to apologize for it, but it is a 15-second home run clip that's going viral. People are like,
yeah.
"Wow, never heard this one get dropped before."
Seems like the mental health crowd might be on him a little bit, but maybe he was just regretting it so much, and people knew that it was just a more of a mistake than trying to be a jerk. You know?
Yeah. I'm also seeing from Mike Peasley that Paul Skeens is scheduled to start for the Pirates on Friday night. Which should put him in line to pitch against the Rangers next Wednesday afternoon at Globe Life Field.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a hot ticket.
That's going to be fun.
That's one of those that we've been kind of looking ahead like, oh, yeah, the Pirates are coming to town. Three games set. Will Skeens be in the rotation? Will Skeens be in the rotation? Well, unless we have any sort of hiccups between now and then, it seems like we're on pace to have Skeens back in the house that he started the All-Star game in.
Yeah, and I feel like that's like a can't-miss payoff. You know, you're going to see the action. You're going to, you know, get an appreciation for one of the greats in his rookie year. You know, I think in a lot of other sports, it could, you know, go against your guy or whatever, but you're going to, you know, take in one of the most, I think, coveted sports spectacles in all of sport right now.
Okay. Are you guys familiar with the story that came out a week ago about the Grand Theft Auto gun violence allegations at Colorado with the primetime?
Yeah, we talked about it on the
Buffaloes.
Show.
Yes, we did. Well, here is Warren Sapp, who, if you didn't know, is a D-line coach for the Buffaloes.
Okay.
He is talking about some of the guys in his D-line room. Now, listen to him maneuver and not know really any name of a player that he's coaching, but navigate the waters pretty impressively. But then at the very end, his mic drop moment is one that I think he would also like to have back.
Who in your room specifically, individually, has stood out the most to you?
I wouldn't single out one guy because we're a pack. You know, my five ends on a two-lane highway. That's nice and good. And then the last two tackles with Buell and the young fella, we'll be 6 deep.
The young fella.
You know, because Shane and big boy, 90 Deuce, Barnes, and then we got Katoji in there, and then working with Buell, and then one more. Who am I forgetting? TC and the other kid. Yeah, I mean, we just mixing and matching them. We got bullets. You get shot with a 38 or a 9mm, you pick it.
Yeah.
If I have to pick.
It's like, man, Deion, like, you know, as soon as this thing, like, word got out that he was referencing 38s and 9mm just days after the Grand Theft Auto allegations, like, he walks back into the coaching office and Prime's looking at him like,
bro,
goddamn gun analogy now. They ride my ass right now. Can't you tell that?
We just have three new articles written. Come on. But you know that when you're having Warren Sapp on your staff, there's going to be something said that's outlandish.
That's sort of what you sign up for there a little bit. And
I mean, he was hired to be a shock jock, and it was too shocking.
He's got the old school Chuck Liddell mohawk going on right now too.
It was a unique look.
It's menacing, man.
We're about to see a new policy out of Colorado where assistant coaches are no longer talking to the media.
It's very rare.
New blanket policy here.
Yeah. All right. Good news here, folks. Now, Walchuk, you were probably ahead of the game on this one, so sorry. This is probably already news to you as our Chick-fil-A insider. But starting Monday, August 26th. The sandwich that just sent ripple effects throughout the entire industry that is fast food, the return of the honey pepper pimento cheese chicken sando is on its way to Chick-fil-A. Now,
I gotta try this thing out. I had a spicy earlier today. When that last time it was around, there's something in there where I was like, I didn't want to, you know, parse through it all. There's some fancy stuff in there that I'm gonna have to take off, and I don't know if the full genius of this creation would be.
Well, is it the pimento cheese?
Yeah, pimento cheese.
I can do pimento cheese.
Okay.
I mean, it says
jalapenos.
I'd be out on the jalapenos.
Pickled jalapenos.
Oh, yeah, way out.
Okay.
So maybe just remove those.
Yeah, leave the, you know.
I think the pimento cheese.
Wait, you don't like the pickled jalapenos, the ones you get at the ballpark?
Yeah, no. I'll be sitting there going like, I'll take his.
Man,
you can add some.
What? Those are the fire ones.
Add his to mine.
It's delicious. It's a great sandwich.
This is apparently an incredible sandwich. I say apparently because I actually missed the boat on this one. Whenever I like became hyper aware of its dominance, it had run its course for the season. So now that it's back, I intend on a Monday the 26th, I will find a Chick-fil-A and I will absolutely try this. My older brother says like it was bordering on addiction for him. Like he was like, honestly, I needed that thing to go away off the menu because
I was putting on weight.
Punishing.
Yeah.
He was punishing.
Is this a grilled chicken or
pimento? No, this is a regular chicken fried as you want it sandwich, man.
Yeah, you can get the spicy or the original. The banana pudding shake will be coming back as well. That's all like the fall release for Chick-fil-A.
I'm on it.
Yeah. So if anybody has any Walchuk, you've said it's a home run.
It's good.
Home run sandwich. You tried it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying it. I've never even had I don't think I've had pimento cheese anything. You hear about it at the Masters and stuff, but I've never ordered one of those Masters kits or whatever that you can bring in and boom, you're rocking and rolling there in your own kitchen.
Yeah.
I never spent the hundo on that. So I don't know. This is exciting. I'm looking forward to giving it a shot. And then somebody, I think Ruben actually sent me a video of a guy eating, doing like a food review in his car of what is allegedly a Taco Bell cheeseburger. And this thing is apparently, I mean, this guy was raving about it. He had the nacho cheese fries to go along with it. I think we might be getting some type of Taco Bell cheeseburger release at some point. And it's okay. Not like a play on a taco either. I mean, I think they may have beans on the burger or whatever, but it's like a full-fledged beef patty. Taco Bell's getting into the burger game.
That's odd to me.
Shut up!
It's weird. You know, I was just noticing earlier today, I was getting gas next to a Taco Bell, and I looked up at the sign, and it had the bell, of course, on it. And underneath, in big letters, like the second most prominent thing on their sign facing the road was breakfast.
Yeah.
Just one word. I'm like, what happened here?
Huge shift in strategy, man.
Yeah.
They went big time breakfast probably, gosh, at least a half decade ago. Leaned all the way in on the breakfast stuff.
I mean, what's wrong with tacos? Burritos, gorditas,
not
chalupas.
A damn thing, Dawson. I hear you, brother. Not a damn thing.
But the breakfast taco,
you guys were killing it.
Yeah. The breakfast taco's good.
All righty, we got to run. 1 hour down, just one and a half to go. Broadus remains in Oxnard. Brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, from grain to glass. And he'll give us takeaways from that joint practice, Cowboys and Rams, coming up next here in the Nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.